This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass and Peter Hitchener. Our special guest is Ken Lay. And if you thought that was a bit harsh, that sort of language in a message, it's not acceptable. Right? It's about
I agree.
It's about
I
respect. You, so I'll give you some back. Get your own show.
That's 977. You know who you are.
Now, Ken, you've got to be, Neil Mitchell refers to you as Victoria's busiest pensioner, which I think is a bit unkind considering he's not that much younger than you.
Well, I think he's older, Macca.
I think he might be, actually. I think he might be. Now, for those who don't know, you're ex-commissioner of Victoria Police. You're current chair of Ambulance Victoria. You've been reviewing Victoria's anti-terrorism laws. You're a strong advocate against domestic violence. You're a board member. Are you still a board member at Essendon?
I am.
You are? Oh, of course, he's got his tie on. Have I missed something? I mean, do you organise the tram timetable or something else? Or what else do you do?
I also sit on the Alana and Madeline Foundation.
That's right.
I've got Neil Mitchell to blame for.
Yes.
So I've been on that for 6 or so months. So that's a really
And also previously an ICE task force as well. That was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so when I finished up as Commissioner Macca, you probably remember Chris got sick, so I just needed to get something which was a bit more sensible. So, I moved into some work with the federal government around ICE and also family violence, which was interesting. So it actually kept me involved in community.
That was a bit of an eye-opener, the domestic violence. Even as an ex-commissioner, I remember seeing a couple of your speeches. There was a bit of passion there.
Well, I guess the bit that got me about it, Macca, was the unfairness of family violence. Like every morning I'd come into work and there'd be another story of usually a woman who'd been very, very badly hurt, often murdered. Every week we'd hear about a woman that had been murdered. And there was, I sensed the community just accepted that was the way it should be. There was a lot of people that actually put steel in my spine. You know, previous commissioners have done it. You know, clearly I got fairly close to Rosie Batty when young Luke died. To be honest, that touched me quite deeply because I saw firsthand a system that let Rosie and Luke down. And look, and I'm not being critical of Victoria Police members, but it was a system.
Yeah.
And the other piece that really worried me, I didn't see a lot of blokes standing up and saying,
it's not right.
It's not right.
It's not good enough. Yeah.
Lots of women out there, and I still talk about this. You go back to White Ribbon Day, and over the last decade or so, you'd open up the paper on White Ribbon Day, and there'd be someone talking about family or writing about family violence, and 90% of the time it was a woman.
Yeah.
So I took the opportunity to, I had a voice as a commissioner. I had the ability to get in front of microphones. I had the ability to get in front of politicians and people and actually just put a burr in the saddle of some people to try and get some change.
It's been a remarkable piece of work, I think, Ken.
Yeah.
I think
The
government has embraced those recommendations and has rolled out a massive, massive commitment.
Yeah. Look, Tass, they did, I guess that was one of my proudest moments was not long before I finished. When the new government came in, I sat in the upper house when the governor spoke about the new government's agenda, and the Family Violence Royal Commission was one of those issues. Now, that's been a game changer. It's been an enormous amount of investment. And you don't see this anywhere across Australia. All power to them, but... you know, talking about it and getting the legislation and the investment in place is probably the easy part. Now it's the execution to make sure women and children are safer. So there's still one hell of a lot of work to do.
So speaking about safety, can I segue into a slightly different subject? If you were to read certain sections of the media, you would believe that Victoria was in the middle of a crime wave and that we had a law and order problem in this state. What's your assessment of that? As ex-police commissioner, as somebody who is interested in this space, who understands what's going on, what do you see and what does the evidence show you?
Tess, look, as I'm out of it now for 3 years, so it's a lot of this is about Ken Lay as a citizen. But I think...
Pretty informed citizen,
yeah,
though.
I think Graham Ashton and Victoria Police have probably got a more difficult job than I had. The world is more complex. You throw the terrorism piece in it as well. You look at the data. You look at issues around ICE. You look at numbers still increasing around family violence. So it's enormously challenging for government and Victoria Police.
So what's changed? What's different? What's changed?
Sorry, just before I get to that, yeah. Tess, I do spend though a lot of time walking around the city doing a whole host of different roles. I don't think I ever feel unsafe.
Yes.
So whilst there's a lot of talk about crime waves and the like, I don't want to diminish anyone's experience when they've been faced with a crime. But I think intuitively that Melbourne is still one of the safest cities in the world. You see that regularly in the survey and the like. So, but I don't think we can avoid the fact that the world's more complex when you're trying to resolve community safety and crime issues. It's difficult.
So, what's different? That was the next part of that question.
Look, I think the drugs continue to be. A main driver.
That's not a new problem, though.
No, it's not a new problem, Tass, but it continues to cause huge amounts of harm. You know, we've been in this war on drugs for, you know, long as I've been alive and probably longer, and we're losing that war clearly. You know, the law and order approach hasn't resolved the issue, and whilst we continue to have a very, very strong law and order focus, which we need to do, but whilst the absolute focus is on that, drugs will continue to create an enormous amount of harm. I think it's, you know, when you look at poverty, when you look at social inequality, all those issues, when you look at lack of education for people, lack of social cohesion, all these things create the challenges. Now, Tess, there is this urge or sometimes desire by when we have talk about crime to try and find one solution. It's enormously complex.
No magic bullets.
It's not. But, you know, certainly from my experience, often if that work is done at the front end, which is the engagement stuff, reducing poverty, ensuring education's right, health systems and the right, you get ahead of it that way rather than huge investment.
It's the good old social determinants argument, isn't it?
Yeah. But Tass, again, you know, and I'll get criticised by some for taking that approach, clearly there is a significant role for the law and order approach.
Of course.
But sometimes we just got to find that balance.
Now, we've quickly got to go to a break. When we come back, I want to continue on that theme a little bit, but a couple of other questions. You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca, Tass, Peter Hitchener, although he's gone all quiet, and Ken Lay. Stay tuned, because there's more.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Macca, Tass, Peter Hitchin, and our special guest, Ken Lay. Tass.
Ken, it's been a great conversation so far this morning. I'm particularly interested in this war on drugs. The war on drugs has now been in place for a long time, and my assessment of it is that things have not actually changed that much. In fact, if anything, my reading of the evidence shows that drug consumption has maintained. There are different patterns, of course. There are different drugs on the market. There are different ranges of activities around that and so forth. But at the moment, there is a bit of a campaign raging, especially out here in Richmond, where we can see people overdosing and dying on the streets on very regular intervals. And there is a debate around whether we should bring in the supervised injecting facility again. Do you have a view about that? Do you believe that there is a role for an SIF?
Macca, it's interesting.
I didn't ask it, he's asking.
Okay. Tass, look, let me go back 2 years or 2.5 years when I was chairing the Prime Minister's ICE Task Force. We produced a report, and the underlying theme of that report was that forget about trying to arrest your way out of this.
Yes.
You need to invest in the front end. You need to invest in harm reduction. You need to invest in education, and you need to wrap services around people who are basically sick. They're not criminals. We probably weren't brave enough to go into the safe injection rooms, but speaking as an individual, there is a real attraction to harm reduction to me.
And this is an example of a harm reduction strategy?
Look, it is. I haven't looked at the research around whether this makes a significant difference or not to people's habits. I suspect, though, the data would say that people are safer.
Evidence-based.
And that's been exactly what the evidence has shown around the Sydney supervised injecting facility, where the deaths have actually decreased.
Yeah.
People are much more connected back into services.
Yeah.
The fears and concerns around it operating like a honey pot and therefore attracting all the dealers and crime and stuff around it has actually not proven to be the case.
Yeah. And look, I think government's come out and said that they're not supportive of it at this stage, but I can certainly understand why a good many people would think it's sensible and it creates a safer community.
Well, when individuals like yourself are prepared to say, well, let's give it a go, I think that gives it a legitimacy.
Yeah,
I think we need to have the discussion, don't we?
Yeah, we do. But look, I'm not sure I hear the really strong counterviews to it. I don't hear the people speaking publicly about. There's data and evidence to show that this wouldn't work. The truth is, whether it's in drugs, whether it's with health, whether it's in education, whether it's in law and order, if things aren't working, we've just got to be innovative. Yeah. We've just got to keep pushing the boundaries. And I suspect that the day will come when we actually see these in place.
I want to ask, Ken, I want to change tack a little bit, and thanks for that. Ambulance Victoria, you're the chair of Ambulance Victoria. I know there's a couple of initiatives that you and Tony Walker have backed very strongly, and the Minister, thank you, Minister, of also in the government. Yep. The mental health of paramedics and the resources that you're putting in place to help paramedics with the stress of their job. That's the first one.
Yep.
The second one is the campaign that's being run for emergency services. It's never okay. Violence against emergency service workers is rising. I have a particularly strong view on this. I think it's a bunch of knuckle-dragging louts that are affected by substance. They're the lowest form of low life, and there should be a minimum sentence. Not that I think any more jail... Just take these pricks off the street anyway. Violence against emergency service workers is not okay. Whether it's an ambulance officer, whether it's a fireman, whether it's a police officer, whether it's a health worker. I mean, why does it happen? Is it predominantly drugs, or is it just that people are not coping, but what is the ambulance service, for example, doing? And I know you have an input into the police and the other services.
Yep.
Tell us about the campaign first.
So a couple of things there, Macca. We were seeing that many of our ambulances were rolling out to jobs they probably didn't need to get to, and you know as well as I do with your connections into AV that you'd hear ridiculous stories of where we were sending highly trained paramedics out to people with sprained thumbs and grazers and headaches, and
so you're filtering a lot of that out.
Yeah,
for a start.
So, yeah. so we've changed the way we're triaging these calls. So we're now making sure that, again, these highly trained paramedics are actually getting to the jobs where they can save lives. And you're seeing our response times to get into these, what we call our Code 1 jobs, are reducing quite dramatically. And that's because we're being a bit smarter. Now, Macca, I don't want to paint this picture that the community out there is all embracing of this and very, very happy, because from time to time we're seeing people who pick up the phone and ring an ambulance. And there's a sense of entitlement that the government provides ambulances, so I ring, I should get one. So it is really about trying to actually educate the community about every day, every minute of the day, there's someone out there that desperately needs help.
It's a matter of life and death.
That's it.
Not an ingrown toenail.
But
I'm going to take that back a little bit. There's something underlying there. I mean, people don't just call an ambulance service because they're bored. There's something going on, isn't there? I mean, somebody's either distressed or feeling unwell or socially isolated or depressed or anxious or something's going on, isn't there?
Yeah. Most cases there is. So I guess the trick for us, though, is to make sure that people go to appropriate services.
Of course.
So whether they can go to their local hospital, whether they can go to their local doctor, whether they can ring a nurse on call, whether they can take a couple of painkillers and stay at home, that's the trick for Ambulance Victoria, to make sure that when people do ring for assistance, there's an adequate and appropriate response. Now, in many occasions, an appropriate response is not two highly trained paramedics who would be better off looking after someone that's had a stroke or someone that's had a heart attack. Now, when you look at the data around these of the most sick in our community, we're getting there quicker and we're seeing lives being saved as a result.
Yes.
Now, again, this is really difficult for some in the community who have this expectation they should get an ambulance if they call for one. So you're seeing the government ads to try and help people understand what the purpose of an ambulance is. You hear me talk about it. You'll hear Tony Walker talk about it. But it is quite a significant cultural change for the community. Mm. It's not going to be easy.
See, sorry, Peter.
No, go.
I was just going to say, why is it that first responders quite often come under attack? Physical attack.
Yeah. Again, look, Peter. I guess it goes back to that crime problem again. There's not one answer. You know, it may well be people with mental illness. It may well be people that are drug affected. It may well be people that are alcohol affected. It may well be a combination of all those. It may well be people that are just angry.
What can you do about it?
Well. Certainly our work with our paramedics is now focusing on it is never appropriate to put yourself in danger. Like many of the men and women that work in AV over the years have had this, I guess it's that intuitive thing about, you know, we're there to help people. Mm-hmm. And often we saw examples of these men and women who probably took unnecessary risks and put themselves in harm's way. Much of the narrative now within the organisation is you are the most important. You are the most important person that we need to look after. If we can't look after you, we can't look after our patients. But look, Tony Walker, our CEO, sends me a note every time a paramedic is injured on the job. Now, some of these are workplace injuries, but many, many, many of them are where paramedics have been assaulted. Now, I'm thinking I probably see one every 2 days.
Oh, gosh.
There was some stuff in the media there last week about a football match where our people had to leave.
Feared for their safety.
And again, there was some criticism in some quarters about that occurring, but I say all power to these people. Yeah. They're there to help people, to save lives. The community needs to understand they're not there to be
bags.
Insulted or assaulted. Yeah. Well, and most do.
And they do a fantastic job as a whole. There's great no question women. About that.
I've got one final, because I know you're dying to get to the football. The mental health initiatives at Ambulance Victoria are really significant. You guys have recognised the problem, and I lay the recognition of this clearly at your feet and Tony Walker's feet and the Minister's feet. Minister's got 2 feet. A great initiative. How is it going? And, you know, do you need to ramp it up? Do you need to change it? But how's it going, and what's the feedback from the troops?
Look, it's good. It's overwhelmingly positive, Macca. We have an organisation. Some of our people have been in the organisation for 20 or 30 years. They've seen and done things that humans aren't wired to do. So I think over the years there are some of our people that are carrying some wounds that are very, very deep. So certainly the work we're doing is try to understand that, trying to support those people as best we can. And look, it is enormously powerful when the CEO of the organisation stands up in front of his people and talks passionately and with a degree of emotion about just how important the mental health of our people is. And
Has talked about his situation.
Gutsy
stuff.
So a lot of this is is about leadership.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, I think Victoria is very blessed to have someone like Tony Walker leading AV.
Well, I'm going to embarrass you. Victoria is blessed to have someone like you, who was Commissioner of Police, still has an input there, Ambulance Victoria, all the other things you do, you know, you're a good bloke, you're a good guy, your heart is in the right place. I want to say thank you for what you do for Victoria. Hope your team wins.
Good luck.
Say hi to Chris, and I'm glad that she's well. That's great to hear. Next time you're held up in traffic, code 1, mate.
thanks, Macca. Thanks,
real Tess. Pleasure.
And thanks, Peter.
Thank you so much.
Good to see you.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.